This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. 11 games down, 5 to go for the Bengals this season. It's been a little rocky over the last few weeks and the injuries have started to creep in, but the team appears to be headed for a third straight playoff appearance. So what are their chances and can they make it to the Super Bowl? Maybe even win it. Joining me to talk about the Bengals is Chick Ludwig, host of the Chick Ludwig Show on WONE in Dayton and the Monday Morning Quarterback on Fox Sports 1360 in Cincinnati. Chick, it's good to be talking to you again, especially with the Bengals in first place in the AFC North.
Mark, it's great hearing your voice. Appreciate being on your show. And yes, it's very exciting for the Cincinnati Bengals and their fans. A 7-4 record after 11 games. They head to the bye week. They really need this time to really heal up physically, and they kind of limp to the finish line here. You know, after 11 games, yes. Finally getting to their bye. They need to heal mentally, physically, and emotionally, and then get ready for a 5-game sprint to the regular season finish line. They're in great shape at 2.5-game lead in the AFC North, and really guaranteed at least a 2-game lead heading into San Diego. And it's the biggest lead of all the divisions in the NFL. So
yeah.
A lot of complaints from Bengals fans about the team at times, but you can't argue with a two-and-a-half game lead here with 5 to go.
I've got to admit, Chick, they're turning my hair grayer because, you know, one minute they look great, and then the next minute they are driving me nuts. Yet, like you said, they're 7-4. My thought is maybe they should be 9-2 at this point, but they are 7-4. They do have a big lead in the AFC North, so I guess I just need to keep my perspective.
Well, what we remember as Bengal fans, and I remember as a 12-year beat writer at the Dayton Daily News, I remember the losses more than the wins.
Yes.
And yeah, you can go back and look at Cleveland and Chicago and Baltimore and Miami and say all those games were winnable. It has been an unbelievable roller coaster of a season. But then you can't forget, you know, the victories at Buffalo, the victory at Detroit, coming back from after the Green Bay Packers score 30 straight points and take a 16-game lead, the Bengals come back from that and then beat the New England Patriots at home. So it has just been an unbelievable season. And Andy Dalton is in the eye of the hurricane. I've never seen a guy that's more polarizing figure on this team than Andy.
Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of Chicago during the Rex Grossman days. I've even heard a few local sports commentators use the phrase good Andy, bad Andy when they're talking about which Andy Dalton is going to show up for a game. You know, he has taken a lot of heat, but he's still having a decent season, though. I think he's like number 5 for passing yards, isn't he?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you look at Andy Dalton, I'm in his corner 100%. The offense really is built around him. And I still remember Marvin Lewis talking about Carson Palmer. He is our offense. And that's what you want to say about Andy Dalton. When he plays well, this team wins. When he doesn't play well, it loses. And thank goodness for the special teams and the defense of the Bengals. They've been awesome. Now, if they can just get this offense straightened out, under coordinator Jay Gruden, he's got a lot of pieces to work with, a lot of toys at Christmas here, but it's just, you know, the play calling, just everything has to come together. They've got fantastic wide receivers, but there's absolutely no excuse for an A.J. Green only catching 2 passes against the Cleveland Browns for a total of 7 yards. That absolutely cannot happen. And you've got tight ends, you've got tremendous wide receivers, a couple of very good running backs. So it's a matter of putting everything together on offense, and this could be the most dangerous team in the NFL. I don't know of anybody who's going to want to play these guys, seriously, if they can continue to improve at the end of the regular season.
Well, and the one question I have to ask is, do you think the Bengals are using the running game as effectively as they could be? Seems to be like Bernard and Green Ellis, you don't see as much of them as you'd perhaps like to see.
You're exactly right. You cannot win in the National Football League throwing the ball 50-plus times a game. That's what the Cleveland Browns did, and that's what the Bengals did in their 2 previous games in losses to Miami and Baltimore. A quarterback's best friend is a running game, and you've got the law firm Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, who I really, really like, and Giovanni Bernard is fantastic, but the short yardage guy, in my mind, the guy to hammer it between the tackles is Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. And the thing of beauty that I saw near the end of the Cleveland game is they ran the ball 5 or 6 consecutive times, and it reminded me of Jerome Bettis when he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you shorten the game, you run the clock, you hammer away, and then you reward former Cleveland Browns tight end Alex Smith with a little two-yard touchdown pass. So it was a thing of beauty at the end of that game. And, yes, the Bengals cannot keep putting themselves in these first quarter or early first half holes. 17-3 deficit at Miami, 17-0 at Baltimore, and then 13-0 against the Cleveland Browns. It was unbelievable. And then they keep coming back. But you're right about the gray hairs. They're dry. Our fingernails are gone. Our hair. We're losing our hair, and we're going to lose our minds.
Our pacemakers are going off in various other things. You know, we're talking about the Bengals with Chick Ludwig, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And you know, Chick, as much as I might complain about the Bengals, the other AFC North teams are having a mediocre season. That's got to help the Bengals in the long run.
That's right, and so many teams have helped the Bengals along the way. Cleveland beats Baltimore to keep them away, and then the Chicago Bears knock off the Baltimore Ravens. So three other teams in the AFC North at 4-6. So the Bengals are kind of back, you know, where they were, you know, a few weeks ago, a 2.5 game lead, and now coming into this weekend's games, the Baltimore Ravens really could make a push here. They're kind of scary because they've got three consecutive home games. Now Pittsburgh goes to Cleveland. So the loser of that game, you know, could get wiped out here. But I'm not going to rule out the Pittsburgh Steelers until they're dead because that's a proud franchise, and they're not going to settle.
You can never rule them out. You know, during the Cleveland game, the Boo Birds came out because the offense was sputtering, and that prompted one of the defensive players, Michael Johnson, to make some interesting comments, something along the lines of, go away, we don't need your bad attitude, or something like that, wasn't it?
That's right. Leave. Please leave, you know. And, I loved it. And, you know, Michael Johnson's on a one-year tender as the franchise-tagged player. And I really doubt if he's going to come back next year and be a Cincinnati Bengal. There's a history there of when you get the franchise tag, they wanted to sign him long-term. But he balked at it, so they gave the money to the other defensive end, Carlos Dunlap. So Michael Johnson, you know, but he's shooting from the hip, and it's a sign that the team and the coaches have Andy Dalton's back. And the defensive players had to have been frustrated with two early interceptions. They're back out onto the field. It's like, we've carried this offense. Offense, it's time you cut us a break and get some long drives and let us rest. The best defense in the NFL is standing on the sideline sipping Gatorade.
Do you think that
not giving up yards, the offense is on the field. So it really does. One hand washes the other. And then just the beauty of the special teams units. You know, Adam Jones and his ability to return punts. And Kevin Huber is really having a Pro Bowl season now. He struggled against Baltimore with a couple of short punts, but he's having a Pro Bowl season. His ability to pin teams inside the 20-yard line, an absolute thing of beauty, and that's the difference between colleges and the pros. Too many college kickers are punting it into the end zone, and here Kevin Huber is mastering that art of directional kicking, directional punting, and pinning teams, not only inside the 20, but inside the 10, flipping field position. It means so much to a club.
Do you think this is a trend that we're going to see, the defense and the special teams picking up the slack? Is that how the Bengals are going to have to win games the next few weeks? Or does the offense get back on track at some point and start looking as efficient as it did back in October?
The offense is really going to have to turn it on. It really does. And, you know, and I think it will. And teams scout you. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure in Andy Dalton's face, some passes batted down at the line of scrimmage, and then when he throws out to the edges, and this team loves to go, you know, instead of vertical, they like to go horizontal at times, and cornerbacks are jumping routes, so they're doing great film study on Andy, and Joe Hayden, keep it away from him, because two quick interceptions, one for a pick six, so they, to me, move the pocket, let Andy not run, but, you know, get outside the pocket and, you know, move these parts and get this offense in gear. And, you know, a lot of criticism on Andy's inability to throw the ball deep. Well, his arm strength isn't too bad with a 51-yard Hail Mary, you know, against the Ravens.
And
but,
I think
you need time. You know, you need 4 seconds on a drop back and to allow the, you know, you need good pass protection up front and then the receivers to get down the field to throw that deep ball. So a lot goes into, you know, it's just not his arm strength and his inability to throw the ball deep. I think he can, but it's the protection and the wide receivers. And as great as A.J. Green is, he's got 8 drops this year. So hold on to the football and contest. If it's going to be incomplete, contest it so that the opponent can't intercept it.
You know, as bad as you might think Andy Dalton is doing, I think he has a quarterback rating for the season of around 85. Not super, but not horrible either.
That's exactly right. And he's a tremendous leader. He's got some fire to him. And the beauty of the guy is he's like a cornerback who gets burned by a wide receiver. He's got a short memory, and that's the beauty of it. How many quarterbacks, after throwing 2 first-quarter interceptions, wouldn't be a little gun-shy? He's got the ability to forget that and just move on to the next play. And his resilience, I think, is his strength.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Eric from Oakley. Good afternoon, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Chick, I just wanted to say that the Bengals drive me crazy because I think they forget what division of in the NFL they play in, because you always, with the Ravens they're running, with the Steelers they're running, and I think that they want to play finesse football rather than bruise the other guys. And I think they made a mistake by not drafting Eddie Lacy. And then my question really is, who's to blame for them losing track of the running game? Is it Marvin? Is it Gruden? Where does that come from?
Eric, thank you for your question.
You can blame them all. A head coach really should have the final say. And if Marvin Lewis wants to run the football, and I'm screaming on Facebook during the game, run the football. And Dick LeBeau used to do that with Ken Anderson. Kenny, run the football. Marvin should tell Jay Gruden, I want to run it here, and then he has to run it. So, yeah, the coordinators have a great deal of freedom, but if the head coach wants a play run, he should run it. And, gosh, to get a Giovanni Bernard in the second round, Tyler Eifert, a first-rounder. So they've added this offense, and the depth on defense has really been a factor this year for this club. Nobody on that defensive line is a first-round draft pick, and that's one of the best defensive lines, you know, in football. So, but you're right. Run the ball. This is the AFC North. There's going to be a blizzard in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Arctic conditions for the Super Bowl. I still want a Bengals 49ers Super Bowl.
You're going to still trip up a kind of a finesse, soft running Giovanni Bernard. I think if you have Eddie Lacy and Ben Jarvis Greeno Ellis pounding the ball, you have a young guy, a guy who's getting older in Ellis. It would have been a beautiful combination.
Well, you know, that would be nice, but, they really wanted Tyler Eifert, and Jermaine Gresham could be headed to free agency too. So you've added another tight end. And then Giovanni Bernard is a second-round draft pick. You got to love the guy. He's leading all rookies in yards from scrimmage. So I have no complaints whatsoever with Giovanni Bernard. I think he's got the greatest hips since Cheryl Burke of Dancing with the Stars.
Eric, thank you for your questions, your comments. Very good, and I do have to agree with you. The Bengals, this insanity thing with the Bengals seems to be going around quite a bit. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And, Chick, the Bengals have had some key injuries to some key players. Do they have the depth to overcome this?
So far, they've shown they do. You lose a Ray Malaluga, and you plug in a Vinny Ray. You lose Leon Hall, one of the top cornerbacks in the league, and Adam Jones is there. Then you lose a Geno Atkins, you know, all virtually irreplaceable, but a second-year pro in Brandon Thompson, who basically was given a redshirt year last year, he's coming on strong. And Wallace Gilberry, so there is that depth there. And that's why, man, they needed this bye now to get some health back. They will get Ray Malaluga back. Atkins and Hall are gone for the season. So far, they've weathered that storm. It's a credit to the players and to Mike Zimmer on defense. He belongs as a head coach in the National Football League next year, no doubt about it.
And the offensive line's had its problems, too. They've had to be switching people in and out on several occasions, haven't they?
You know, that's right. And Andrew Whitworth has fought some knee problems at left offensive tackle. You've got Anthony Collins there. And, man, they were talking about, could they afford to trade an Anthony Collins? No, because you need that third offensive tackle to do the job. So, and now Kevin Zeitler's down. So you've got, you drafted a Tanner Hawkinson, and you've got Mike Pollock. And, you know, so the depth on the offensive line. And, yes, they haven't shown the push at all times that you need for a great running game. And, you know, with Kyle Cook at center. But they didn't allow a sack, and they gave Andy Dalton enough protection, and all Andy Dalton did was come back from two early interceptions to throw three touchdown passes. Everybody forgets that, and then the Bengals win.
What do you think of the role that Mike Nugent's been playing this season? It's been pretty impressive to me.
Well, it really has, and he's had some injury issues over the years, and he's got a limit. And I love what Darren Simmons says. He studies the win before the game, and Nugent has his routine before games. So you can tell, hey, his limit is going to be 52 yards in this game going in this one direction, or max 55, in the other direction. So when it came time to possibly kick a 58-yard field goal, that was not going to work. And, gosh, I forget whether it was against Miami or Baltimore. They were right on the edge, really, of his distance. But he's been very reliable. Has missed a couple that you wish he had back, but he's been very reliable with his kickoffs, and you know that consistency has really helped this team. So, Clark Harris is your long snapper, Kevin Huber is your punter, and Mike Nugent as your kicker. They got those guys re-signed, in the offseason last year, critical to these special teams.
You can join our conversation with Chick Ludwig by calling 513-419-7100. Let's talk with Stan from Mason. Good afternoon, Stan.
Hello. Hey, can you hear me all right?
Sure can.
Yeah, oh, Stan, great. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks a lot. Just commenting about the game. I think leadership takes several forms. And one of the most incredible pieces of leadership that I saw happen in the first quarter by the defensive tackle, I think it's James Harrison, is that it? And it's when he picked up the ball, I think it was a fumble, and struggled. I'm telling you, that guy went like crazy, but he fell for a touchdown. It was called back because of a defensive, some kind of penalty. But
yes.
I've never seen anybody try to work so hard. They act as an inspiration to the rest of the team. And I think that really picked the team up at that moment.
Totally agree. That play turned the game around. And James Harrison, and when NFL Films comes out with this year's highlights, that'll be on there, and they won't even have to say that the touchdown was called back because it was just a phenomenal play, and it really turned that game around. But here's James Harrison coming over from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Every Bengals fan should and does appreciate the guy. And here, he walks into the locker room, instant credibility with his Super Bowl rings and his MVPs and you name it. He's an instant leverage machine. And with the injuries, he's had to play more. So he's played linebacker. He can play defensive end. He can play anywhere you want him to play. He's like 6 foot, 255, 260. He is a monster, and he brings up brings the intensity, and he's had to expand his role with these injuries. So that has really helped this club.
Stan, thanks for your comment. It's been home sweet home for the Bengals this season. What are they, 5-0 at home? And it's been pretty ugly on the road. I think they're 2-4. Do they have to become better road warriors, Chick, to make a run into the playoffs?
Well, I think so, and that's going to start here in San Diego. I've been out there a few times. It's a tough place to play. They're struggling right now with Phillip Rivers at quarterback, but it's a very difficult place to play. The West Coast has been brutal on the Bengals over the years. But you're right about the ability to protect home field advantage. 5-0 at home for the first time since the 1988 Super Bowl season. It's incredible. But coming into this year, the best record under Marvin Lewis at home is 6-2. A whole bunch of 4-4s, a whole bunch of 5-3s. There was a 3-5, and then everybody remembers the 3-4-1 when they tied Philly at home, and Donovan McNabb didn't realize, a game could end in a tie. And it did.
That was pretty crazy, wasn't it?
It really was.
How does
5-0 at home, man, protect home field advantage.
Yeah.
This has been super. And now you got a San Diego game coming off the bye, and I don't have the record right in front of me. Marvin and the Bengals.
I think they're 4-6, actually.
Yeah, they have not been great coming out of bye weeks. But this is a winnable game, and could this be a Miami? Could it be a Chicago? You don't want that to happen. You want to go out there and clean house and then come back home against a critical, critical game against the Indianapolis Colts. Every Bengals fan was rooting for the Carolina Panthers because right now New England, the Bengals, and the Indianapolis Colts all are tied in the win column with 7 victories. So the Bengals could – man, getting that second seed would be so huge. If you're the fourth seed and have the worst record of the four division winners, you're going to have to host either a Denver, or a Kansas City coming into Cincinnati because they've got the two best records right now in the AFC and they're in the same division, the West.
You're still just as optimistic as when I interviewed you back in August. We can't shake you, can we?
No. No, I'm fired up about this season, and, man, they've really kind of turned a corner here. I'm excited for the Bengals and their fans and this team, and yet at the same time, if things deteriorate here, who knows what kind of changes we're going to see next year, and it could come on this coaching staff. It really could.
Looks to me like they're playoff bound. Are they going to fare better in the postseason, do you think?
Oh, they absolutely have to. If they don't win a playoff game, this season will be an abject failure. They've been there 3 of the last 4 years, including 2 straight. It is time. And I've talked to the coaches. They know that they have to win a playoff game. The players know it too. Getting there is one thing. Winning. Playing in a big game is one thing. Winning it is a whole different story. They have to win a playoff game this year. It looks like they will host it. The club is already releasing information. And it comes from the NFL. They've got to start making plans to host a playoff game this year. So they have to, Mark.
Well, thank you, Chick. Chick Ludwig hosts.
This is a blast. I love WVXU. And you're awesome. And so are the listeners out there. And I'm just getting excited for another sports talk radio show up here in Dayton.
Thank you, Chick, and thanks for the nice compliment. Chick Ludwig hosts the Monday Morning Quarterback on Fox Sports 1360 in Cincinnati, also the Chick Ludwig Show on WONE in Dayton. After the break, designing livable cities, and after that, in focus on technology, Ann Thompson tells us about technology to help the visually impaired. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.